Let me get into the message. Last week we kind of listened in on a conversation that Jesus had with a rich young man, and he was talking to this young man about he was making the point that there's a difference between being alive and really living. There's a difference between just sort of being here, and today we're gonna take a look at a story where Jesus was actually speaking to a group of people along similar lines, but he went into much more detail about it, and I'm going to as well. So in John chapter number 10, Jesus is speaking to a bunch of religious people. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that in a really derogatory way. These were actually very religious people. They were people that were dedicated to the law at the time. They were dedicated to the religion of Judaism, and they were trying to live it out. But Jesus came and he had this conversation very similar to what he talked about with this young man. I want to develop that as he continues to teach us more about that this morning. So in John chapter number 10 and verse number 10, he makes this statement, which is actually way more powerful than it looks upon a simple reading. Here's what he said. And by the way, this is the 10th chapter of John. If you're familiar with this chapter, this is the chapter where Jesus talks about being a good shepherd. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. And he relates everything in this chapter to that. Then he comes and he says this right in the middle of that teaching. He says, I am come that they might have life, talking about all of us, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I've mentioned this, and I mentioned this frequently while I'm preaching about different things today. I actually want to break this down. So in this verse, Jesus is actually giving us what he is saying, three states of man. He said every human being will fall into one of three categories, if you would, or three states. And each one of us can find ourselves in one of these either now or, you know, or at some point in our lives, we probably would have found ourselves in one of them. Now, here's what he says. So number one, the first state of man is they have no life. Remember, Jesus said, I came so that they might have life. So man can have no life. I'll explain that in a minute. Number two, he said, or man can have life. So some people are walking the earth. They have no life. Some people have life. And number three, some have abundant life. Now, as I develop this, I really want to challenge all of us. You know, where am I in this? This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, implying that there are some who don't have life. Now, they were already alive. In essence, Jesus was saying, you know, if he had not come, everybody would be in this situation of having no life, right? Do you follow me? He said, I have come that they might have life. So he's implying that if he had not come, nobody would have life. Okay? But he did come. Now, having said that, and by the way, this is something Jesus had already said, or John had already said. John, in his first chapter of this book, John chapter 1, he kind of begins his gospel the same way the Bible begins. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then he gets to verse 4. And verse 4, John wrote this. He said, in him was what?
Life.
Was life. In Jesus was life. When Jesus came to the earth, we're going to celebrate Christmas here very, very soon, aren't we? And we're celebrating the fact that Jesus came and he brought life with him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, obviously, people existed before Jesus came, yes? So what was he saying? He was saying there's a difference between life and existence. There's a difference between everybody, every human being, when Jesus came that night, even the ones who were unaware of what was going on, they had existence. So what is, in fact, everything that God created exists. Now, what does it mean, though, to exist? What's the difference between existing and living? Or according to Jesus, the difference between existence and life? Well, to exist, the scientific definition of to exist literally means just simply to occupy space. Occupy space. You exist if you occupy space. All right, so Dwayne exists. I know he exists because he occupies space. And that is the definition. And by the way, and the scientific definitions agree with that. And that's what it means. That's what Webster says in the dictionary. Now, even some abstract things, you know, when you consider that we know that everything that has matter exists because it takes up space. But do you know even things like thoughts? Do you know your thoughts also take up space? Did you ever notice how you can't think about two things at the same time? I know there are some of you who say, oh, I can multitask. I can think about more than one thing at a time. Actually, we can't. We can bounce back and forth. And there are some people, if you've ever had a conversation with them, they bounce around a lot. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. It's like you're trying to keep up with a conversation and they've had five conversations. Yes. You're still on the first one trying to figure out what those next four had anything to do with the first. But you can't have two thoughts. Two thoughts cannot occupy mental space at the same time. You know, pain, for example, pain. Did you ever get a paper cut? And it hurts, right? Paper cuts hurt. Yeah. But if you have a paper cut and you're walking around and suddenly you throw your back out, what happens to that paper cut? You don't really notice that anymore, do you? Because your back is there's a process where you can't feel two pains mostly at the same time. In the same way with emotions. You know, you can't be happy and sad at the same time. You can't be angry and joyful at the same time. Some of you are thinking, wait, I can. Well, you're schizophrenic. Never mind. Well, but see, that's still bouncing back and forth. Even bipolar, you're bouncing back and forth. You can't be both at the same time. So here's the point. You can't have two things going on at the same time. We can't have two thoughts at the same time. They cannot exist. They can't be together because they're occupying the same space. Just like, again, Dwayne is occupying space in this room. And he's the only one who can occupy that space. Even if I come down and sit on his lap, which I'm not going to, even if I come down there and sit on his lap, I'm still not occupying the same space that he is. So two things cannot be in the same. Now, I'm trying to decide how I want to go here. You know, everything God created exists because it takes up space. Because existence itself, God didn't stop there. Because God said that existence alone is not fulfilling. Do you know when God created the world existed, yes? Because it took up space. And if that was sufficient, God would have stopped there. But he didn't stop there, did he? And in the same way, he did not create us to simply exist, to just take up space. You know, the same reason that God didn't stop in Genesis 1:1 when he said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. He didn't stop there. He went on. And for the same reason, he didn't create you and me to just simply exist. He didn't stop there in our lives either. So, you know, what does it mean to live then? What's the difference between living and existing? Living is the effect we have on our surroundings. The effect we have on the world around us. That's what it means to live. To exist, you simply take up space. To exist. To live means we have an effect on the people around us. You follow me?
Yes.
That's what life is. Now, in the same way that two thoughts can't exist at the same time, existence and life actually are inversely related. They're inversely related. In other words, the more I exist, the more my life is focused around simply taking up space, the things that I need to in order to be here, the less that I'm living. And the more that I want to live, that means I have to exist less. Let me prove it to you. When I got here this morning, my wife and I get here very, very early. We were here about 7:45 this morning, but it's hard to beat Joe here. So when we got here, Joe had an existence that was huge. He had this entire building to himself. You follow me? His existence was huge because he occupied the entire building. It was all his. When we came, we ruined that, didn't we? When we came, now suddenly he lost some of his existence. He was no longer occupying this space all by himself. Now, he was downstairs and we were upstairs. And so if for a time there, my wife and I had this room all to ourselves. Our existence was huge. But watch, but we weren't living. our life was not huge because there was no reason for us to be here. There's no purpose for us to be here. When Joe came up the stairs, he robbed us of some of our existence. Right? He made us share our existence with him, and this 2,200 square feet right here, our existence went down. But guess what? Our lives got better. Mm-hmm. Our living changed because now we have a purpose. We were serving together. We were working together. Now, and by the way, Joe is always here that early. And Joe, I want to thank you publicly for all the things you do around here. He's always here early. Like I said, I'm going to have to start coming at 6 o'clock in the morning if I want to beat him here. Laura, he's the one who always sets up your room. I used to do it. When you first started your Sunday school class, I'd go down there and I'd set that up and make coffee and all those things. And after a while, Joe started coming earlier and he started setting it up. And it's like, okay, fine. He beat me to it. I wasn't going to come early enough to do that. He does that every single week for your class. You see, so what is that? So, and by the way, and then you all started arriving. You all started coming. Robert came, and Robert also decreased our existence. By the way, when Robert takes up space, he takes up a lot of space. So our existence went way down when Robert got here. But our lives got so much better. Our living, we began to live more and exist less. Are you following me? And this is how it works. They work in opposites. I can be all alone in this world and have an enormous existence, but no life. Can I ask you a question? Which did God make us to do? Okay, guys, this is an easy question. This is not a trick question. Did God make us to exist? Or did he make us to live? See, God said, I made the world, but that wasn't enough for him. It wasn't enough to just have the world exist. God wanted the world to have a purpose. And by the way, the world does have a purpose. The world's purpose is to give God something to love. You're a tough crowd today. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with them, Tim? They didn't have coffee. They didn't have enough coffee. Yeah, they didn't have you bring them. You have to bring everybody coffee next week. So look, here's the point. Listen, so what is life? Life is having a purpose. That's what life is. Do you know what really separates man from the animals? Do you know all the animals exist, right? They exist because they take up space. But do you know what really separates man from animals? What really separates man from animals is the fact that we both exist. And by the way, it's not biology. The truth is, it's really not. I hate to break this to you, John. You share 99.2% of your DNA with a pig. Now that's more obvious in some people than others, but what? Not anybody here. I'm not talking about anybody here and not anybody who's listening online. It's the other people. No, look, we do. It's not biology. It's not about, do you have wings or feathers or anything like that. What made us different is what? When God made man, what does the Bible say he did? Chapter 2 and verse number 7 or 8, one of those, it says, and God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of what? Life. He already existed, but God said, I'm giving you life. And man is different from the animals because we can become aware of our purpose. We can become aware of why we were made. This is what makes, animals don't know why they're here, right? They don't. They don't know why they're here. I know you feel like your dog and your cat, they know why they're here. No, they know what they like. They know what they want. Look, an animal knows that it exists. It's aware of its existence, but it's not aware of why. Do you know, think about what it's like to be a rabbit. If you were a rabbit and you were aware of why you exist, does anybody know why rabbits exist? Food. They're food for other animals and food for people. I mean, what else do they do? What else do they do? Poop. Not poop. Don't say that. Well, I know they do that. Think about it. If you were a rabbit and you had an awareness, you'd be saying, okay, God, what is the deal? I have no defenses. I mean, a rabbit doesn't have any natural defenses. A rabbit is food. That's all they are. I would run out in front of a car and get flattened before, you know, rather than get eaten by a coyote. You see, animals are not aware of why what their purpose is, but you are. Or at least we have the ability to be. Yes? We have the ability, what separates us from the animals is we have the ability to find out, why am I here? Why do I exist? The existence is of no value. Look, this chair right here, it exists because it takes up space and it has a purpose here. Somebody can come and sit in that chair. You take that chair and put it out in the desert and it becomes of zero value. Think about it. We just saw yesterday one of these brand new Corvettes. Have you seen those? Brand new? What are they, $100,000? Do you know if you took one of those brand new $100,000 Corvettes and you dropped it out in the middle of the desert with no people around, nobody is ever going to see it. Do you know it becomes worth nothing? You follow me? Its existence is not what makes it valuable. It's the fact that you can drive it stinking fast. And you look like a midlife crisis. That's where its value is. That's why Dale has one. Not a new one. Anybody who has a Corvette, there's a reason why they have one. It's not because they want to haul a bunch of people in it. Look, so see, the point is, existence is of zero value. Your existence has no value whatsoever. But your life has tremendous value. Wow. Okay, I'm going to come down there and amen myself. If you all don't do it. Your life has tremendous value. Tremendous value. Because your life is the purpose of your existence is to live, which means to affect the people around you, to affect your world, to affect my world. You know, but we get the sad part is sometimes we don't understand this, and people don't they're not aware, they don't think about the importance of their life, and so we begin to focus so much more on our existence. We begin to focus so much more on, well, I've got to have food, I've got to have a place to live, I've got to have a car to drive, I've got to have this, I've got to have that. We start think about how much of our lives we spend dedicated to our existence rather than our life. Because you have to choose one. You have to choose one. Hey, you can invest totally in your existence. You can buy the biggest, look, you save your money, save everything you got, win the lottery, do whatever. Just remember to tithe. And you do all those things. Man, well, we could do with 10% of anything in that. But look, you could buy the biggest house in Delaware and live in it all by yourself, and your existence would be huge. But you'd have no life. No life. And how we choose to, where we put our focus. Am I going to focus on my existence? Am I going to focus on what I eat, where I sleep, what I drive, what I'm going to wear, and all those kind of things? Or am I going to focus on my life? Am I going to focus on the impact that I'm having on the people around me? Am I going to spend more time worried about what I'm doing to Sherry than what I'm getting for myself? And Jesus said, what you do for yourself is existence. But what you do for other people, that's life. Amen. That's life. Now, does that mean we should be, what's the old expression? Drive junk for Jesus or whatever. You remember that expression, you know, for a while? Does that mean we should just live in poverty and just give everything? No, of course not. We need to provide for our existence and for our families. But when that's our only focus, Jesus said, you've got to understand you're not living. And when existence becomes the most important thing in our lives, please get this. When I live to exist, when I live for my existence, when I focus on my existence, what I have for me, and we find that that's not fulfilling, that's called depression. What are the marks of depression? Look, please understand. I fully recognize I'm not wired the way some people are. I get that. I am not wired for depression. I'm not chemically, and I get that, and I know there's a wiring issue, there's a chemical issue, there's things that go on in people's bodies that make them susceptible to depression. But at the same time, here's something I've never ever seen in my life in 27 years of full-time ministry. I've never seen anybody who spends most of their time helping other people be depressed. I've just never seen it. And by the way, I'm not, and you say, well, that's because they don't have any reason to be. Oh, that's not true. We have widows in this room that have every reason to be depressed, but they're not. We have mothers in the, we have multiple mothers in this room who have lost their children, have many, many reasons to be depressed, but they're not. But there are a lot of people that are struggling from depression. And again, please understand, I'm not being, I would never say that I can understand, because I cannot empathize with you. I can't empathize with you because I don't know what it feels like. I don't know what it feels like to be so frustrated in life because I realize that I've got all this existence, but I don't know what my purpose is. But I can tell you that oftentimes that is what the problem is with depression. It's not knowing why you're here. So what happens? People who struggle with that, they end up staying home. They end up staying home and covers up, right? Don't talk to anybody. Don't take phone calls. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. Wait, that increases your existence, yes? Look, having nobody in your house is kind of nice sometimes. Having nobody in your house, that increases your existence, but not your life. Having people out of your life, as it were, increases your existence, but it messes up the way God made you. God didn't make us to be alone. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. He said that right in the very first, the second chapter of the book. He said, it's not good for people to be alone. So nothing is more depressing than just taking up space. Listen, it's very quiet. I'm not sure what to make of it. There's nothing more depressing than just simply taking up space. Not having a purpose. Not knowing what your purpose is. That's no different from the animals. Please don't, I would never try to offend anybody on purpose at all. But the fact of the matter is, if we live our lives only to exist, then there really is no difference between my existence and a possum's. It was the ugliest animal I could think of. Yeah. Aren't they nasty? Yeah. I got to know. Well, that's one of the first questions I ask God is, what's up with the possums? Right after the platypus, it's like, that was a joke, right? God has a sense of humor.
That he does.
But really, Larry? I know you did. So did everybody else, but they weren't rude enough to laugh at that. They love me. Well, some of them do. See, that's living right there. See, every one of you who came, each one of you who walked in this building, each one of you who walked in here, you lowered my existence, but boy, did you raise my life. Do you know why I wait out in this parking lot for you every morning? I want to be the first person you see. Maybe that's selfish. I just want you to know that you're so important to me. I want you to know that I can't wait for you to get here. And I want you to feel terribly guilty if you don't come. I missed you Wednesday and Sunday. You were gone. You and Sue were not here either one of those, and I know that. I know when you're not here. I know when you're sick. I worry about you when you're not here. And you say, the point is, because you are a part of my life, not my existence. I don't need you to exist. You don't need me to exist. We exist because God made us, and we take up space. And I mean, some of us really exist. Hey, some of us really live too. We live. And that's what I'm trying to say this morning. That's the message. So here's the thing. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might do something more than exist. You know, okay, think about this. Jesus said, if Jesus had not come, we would not have life. Do you know what that, let's translate that into what it really means. So if Jesus hadn't come, then this morning, Doug and Robert would have simply sung in the shower instead of here. And I am so, I am so sorry for the visual and mental image I just put in your heads. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Oh, Lord, take my eyes. Now think about it. They would still have existed. That whatever songs they would sing would still exist, but it wouldn't have had the effect on us that it had. You follow me?
Yes.
You have no choice but to go to work tomorrow morning. Right? You have to go to work tomorrow, Kim. And that's a bummer.
Yeah.
You have to go to work.
Yeah.
But listen, but you don't.
Hey, Dad, my job.
Shut up, Sherry. Nobody's talking to you. Here, I'm talking to Kim. You just made her feel worse. You're awful. You owe her lunch. Take her to lunch today. You're welcome. But listen, you know, but so you have to go to work. To exist. You have to go to work to exist. You have to make money. You have to be able to pay your bills. But while you're at work, you can actually live. Mm-hmm. You can live by going in and making an impact on the people, a positive impact. Let me clarify that. A positive impact on the people around you. You can go and can you imagine what it would be like for your coworkers if you came every day happy and excited, you know, and just and helpful? Do you know a lot of people look at work the same way that you might, and it's a drudgery maybe, and it's a rough thing and all that. You could go and make it better, and in doing so, you live.
Right. Amen.
Say, well, I work with these grumpy people. So do I.
Mm-hmm.
You work. Well, today, just two. But listen, you say, well, I work with these grouchy people. Hey, you really want to live? You go in tomorrow, go make life better for the biggest jerk at your workplace.
That's right. Amen.
Say, well, they won't appreciate it. It doesn't matter if they appreciate it. You're getting one over on them. God is a God of justice. God is a God of keeping scales balanced. You go in and you treat somebody really, really well who treats you really, really badly. God will deal with them. Because you have messed up the scales. God has to make something better for you and worse for them. So if you really want to get them, go be super nice to them. But what you're doing is, and it's going to be harder for them. It's going to be really hard for them to continue to be so awful when you are so good to them.
Amen.
And in doing so, you live. Mm-hmm. You live. Or you could go in and be a stick in the mud grouch and just exist. And Jesus said, you don't get it. Choose. Choose. Hey, choose to live or choose to exist. You can't have both. I mean, you know, life is a balance of the two. But he said, look, the more you live, the happier you'll be. Focus less on your existence. And so let me wrap this up. So what does Jesus mean then? When Jesus said at the end of that verse, he said, look, you can have no life. Or you can have life, or you can have abundant life. So what is abundant life? Abundant life is what I just mentioned. When you go to your workplace, all right, let me use a different illustration, because some of you are still thinking about the people you don't like there. You two are going to go to lunch today, right? All right. Yes?
Yes.
Promise?
Promise.
Okay, you're paying.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
He is.
Anybody else want me to help you out? Anybody else? So look, you all can go and you can focus on whatever food you get. You can focus on getting everything for you. You can go and exist. You can feed your existence. Or you could go in and you could take so much of your life, so much of your kindness. You could be the table that when it's crowded and rushed and the server comes over and says, "No, I'm sorry, it's taking so long. I promise you, your food will be out soon." You could be the table that says, "Hey, you know what? We're fine. Take care of all your other customers who are in a big hurry. We're okay." What would that do for his or her life? What would that do for that server's life who's trying to please everyone, and probably having people be unkind to them at another table? Yes? So go live. Go make her day better. Be so friendly, be so kind, make her day different than everybody else is trying to make her day. And that is how you live, because what abundance means, the word abundance, it means more than you need. More than you can use. So when Jesus said, "I will give you life more than you can use," I feel like I've got more joy in my life than I can personally use. I want to share it with you so badly. I just want to share it with you. And I want to share it with the world around me. And he said, that's a life, that's abundant life. Focus so little on your existence and so much on what you can do for somebody else. So much on the world around you. Everywhere you go. Let your life just spill out, because that kind of life is not just, you don't just affect people, you infect people. Wouldn't you like to infect people with some joy? Amen. Infect people with some joy.
Yes.
Don't ask them permission. Just give them the jab of joy. Of kindness, of forgiveness, of understanding. Thanksgiving's coming up. You have a choice. You can exist all by yourself, or you can come here and join some people who are going to have a meal here, and you can live. By the way, you can be all alone in a house full of people. But you don't have to be. Look, I know this is controversial. I know there's people say, "Pastor, I can't believe you're telling people to do this." I don't care what you think. Look, you don't have to be with a bunch of people you don't like or that are mean to you, unkind to you. There are a lot of people who would love to have you invite them to your home for Thanksgiving. And you could live with them. You know what I mean. You could live and not just exist. The point is, you apply it any way you feel appropriate. I'm just pleading with you this morning. Let's choose living instead of existing. Focus less on my existence, all my efforts, all my energies, all my resources into how am I affecting the world around me. I promise you, you'll find a lot of happiness. That's the cure for unhappiness.